Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 19. And starting in verse 16, the Word of God says, "Behold, one came and said unto the Savior, Good Master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Now, something happened here. He said unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt... What is this man thinking? Which commandments shall I keep? This man is thinking in terms of human good. Because he is calling him good, and Jesus said, I'm not good. Only God is good. You're talking to me after my humanity. My humanity, there's nothing good in humanity. I'm not good. But the man is oriented toward human good. And the Savior is telling him here, it's not in human good. And he says to him, okay, fine. You want to go this way? Let's talk about it. You will not commit adultery, you will not steal, you will not bear false witness, honor your mother and your father, and you will love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said unto him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What lack I yet? Like, what am I lacking? I've done all the good stuff. What am I lacking? And Jesus said unto him, if you will be perfect, go and sell that which you have and give it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Folks, the young man was oriented toward human good. Jesus told him, it's not about your human good orientation. In a human good orientation, I can have good idols. Just so long as they meet human good. I can have my money, for example, as this guy, be the source of my confidence and my security. I can have that be that which I serve. So long as I do something that I call good with it. Maybe I'll take a little bit of the chunk of change and feed the poor. There's nothing wrong with feeding the poor. It's good. Maybe I'll help somebody in need. That's good. And so I can have my idol, and I can have my human good, and I can maybe stand before God. This is a very religious mentality. Folks, it's not about human good. In Matthew 22 and verse 36, one of the Pharisees, a lawyer, said to Jesus, he said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. For this is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This is why Jesus told him, keep the commandments. He didn't tell him the Ten Commandments. He just said, keep the new commandment that I give unto you. Love as you have been loved. In other words, receive the love of God. That's my commandment. This is why that man couldn't handle what was said to him. This is why he went away disappointed. Because he was hoping that in his human good, he would have a suitable substitute for the love of God. And unfortunately, that was not present. Folks, it's not about human good. My righteousness, as Isaiah said, is like filthy rags. Okay, we all know that passage. Do we understand it? Do we believe that our righteousness really is like filthy rags? Or is there a part of us that still demands our righteousness and still demands yours? Can I love a person that is unrighteous? Can I be patient and kind towards them? Can I love the person who offends me? Jesus says, love your enemies. If you only love your friends, what do you do that's any different than the world crowd, the Pharisees and the worldly crowd? But love your enemies. The Gentiles know how to love people the way, you know, in a human good. But love your enemies. Why? Because that is not a natural love. That is the love of God. In other words, be patiently long-suffering and kind toward those people who spitefully use you. Do good to them. Love them. How do I get this? I don't live in human good. It will never come from human good. I live in the divine good of God. In other words, what I live in is God's kindness. When Romans 2:4 defines the goodness of God, how it turns people to repentance, is the kindness that it's talking about. In other words, it is that expression that is preceded by a mental attitude that God has toward me. Have you ever considered that Christ suffers with us? We know long suffering, but that He actually does suffer. Not that just He kind of, okay, fine, I'll put up with you, but it actually causes Him to suffer. Why? He lives in us. When the Holy Spirit is grieved, the Holy Spirit is suffering. And He's willing to do it for a long time. With the believer, there will never be an end to his willingness toward his suffering. Why? It's not human love. I fail, but I'm not utterly cast down. The hands of God uphold me. And though I stand before my Master, I do stand, because He causes me to stand. The love of God is not like human love. The love of God is difficult to explain in human terms. And in human mentality, it's impossible to grasp. We think that God will be toward us as people are, as we are. But He's not. We think we do something wrong, now I'm going to face the music with God. But I don't. That's why it says the kindness, the goodness, the kindness of God turns people to repentance. Where does someone see Christ? In the kindness of God. I don't see God's mentality, though I enjoy its benefits. But I do see His kindness. I do see the fact that despite the fact that maybe an hour ago I was like a little demon personified, now He's answering my prayers. I thought it was fascinating in that book, Heaven is Real, when that pastor's son died and the pastor was angry with God, and the angry prayers were answered. God heard those angry prayers. And He answered. This is the kindness of God. This is His goodness. This is not a human love. It's God's love. Do you see yourself as being in God's love? Yes, theologically I understand this is where I am. That's fine. But when the rubber meets the road, what are your responses? Do you see yourself in God's love? Do you see that God will be kind to you when you don't deserve being kind to? How many people say they deserve such? You know, whatever they deserve, I deserve worse. The kindness of God changes people's hearts. It transforms their lives. The kindness of God is the only hope we have. because none is good but one. Don't look to yourself to produce human goodness. You might think to yourself that your human goodness is your goodness before God. You might even say to yourself that your human goodness is God's character in you. But that's a deception. You know how you can tell? Does it run out? If it runs out, it was human. If it doesn't run out, it was God's. No matter where you find yourself in, the love of God will not forsake you. It will not abandon you. It will not get fed up with you. It will not get frustrated with you. It will not get angry with you. No matter how bad a person fails, the love of God will be expressed towards them. When I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. That was kindness. There was nothing in me that deserved, and still there is nothing in me that deserves. Really, today, not before I was saved, but today, I really still just deserve to go to hell. Just driving behind slow drivers on the highway. This is what I know when I'm living in human goodness. And you got three lanes and all three are completely plugged. And I start living in human goodness. I see, oh, there is my source. I can't say I particularly loved those people at that time. Not terribly patient towards them. But God is still kind to me. You see, the only thing that I do deserve in my human goodness is nothing more than on the evil side of the tree of knowledge. Human goodness is based on sight. Entirely. And self-occupation or orientation will always overcome that human goodness. I will be kind as long as you are doing what I like. If you stop doing what I like, I will not be kind. Human goodness. But Jesus said, be kind to those, do good to those who spitefully use you. Ah, divine goodness. Love that enemy of yours, divine goodness. Protect people who attack you. He didn't say that, but that's a principle. You see, when he said, do good to those that spitefully use you, that's part of what he was saying. Somebody comes against you, you protect them. Why? While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. And even now, as a sinner, Christ protects me. David was one of the biggest train wrecks of history. And God protected him. God's attitude was not, okay, David, I've had enough. God's attitude was not, forget it, you blew it, I'm having nothing more to do with you. God's attitude was, let me reconcile you. God's attitude was, let me be kind to David so that David will know who I am. And David knew who God was. For the biggest train wreck of history, he knew God really well. We may have a cleaned up life, but do we know him like David? Do I know the mercy of God? Or is it that I simply do not face the temptations and challenges that David faced? Is it that I'm not in the same positions as David was in? Well, you know what? Even if I find myself in those positions with the same failures, God will be kind. I wish I could impart this directly into people's hearts. God is kind. God is divinely kind. In other words, it's not just a kindness that is superficial. It's a kindness that penetrates the heart. It's a kindness that blows my mind when it takes place. Why is it that the Word of God says that she that sinned much loves much? Because she saw divine goodness and it changed who she was. Always, always approach God as a God who is kind to you. Not a God who possesses human goodness. This is why people say to themselves, I have to get cleaned up first before I come to God. Because they say, God is humanly good and He won't accept me except that I am humanly good. But God doesn't accept your human goodness. God only accepts what He's done for you. Never try to live in humanly good qualities. But receive the love of God. How does a person learn how to forgive people? By falling on their face and being forgiven. And then I forgive people. How does a person learn to be merciful? By needing mercy and receiving it. How does a person live in grace? By having sinned and had grace abound. Now, I can theologically apply what I have learned. But it won't be the character of my heart until I've received it for myself. This is why we love, because He first loved us. Because we can theologically apply, and that's a fine starting place. But that's not the end. Never try to live in human good. You see, human good is different than divine good. Now, the Word of God tells us in Luke 16:13. That no man can serve two masters. It says actually that no servant can serve two masters. In other words, I'm serving something. Now there it is talking about God and mammon, but mammon is not just money. Mammon is anything of the world system, and in fact, anything that is natural. I cannot serve both divine goodness and the good side of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Because if I do, I will love the one and hate the other. In other words, if I try to serve human goodness, I'm going to get into a religious mentality that won't tolerate grace. That won't tolerate mercy. But if I'm serving divine goodness, then mercy pours out, and mercy is simply the standard for how things are done. Because I have the heart of God. Folks, God does have a standard towards you. The standard is the finished work. And He will never go outside of that finished work, not even for human goodness. And so I don't have to try to produce anything. Get that. Theologically, we understand it. Experientially, I think all too often it's distant from us. Get that. You don't have to try to produce anything. You receive the love of God. You let God be kind toward you and you don't worry about reciprocating. You just receive the kindness of God. You let God forgive you and you don't worry about the other person and what they did. You simply receive the forgiveness of God. You receive all the things that God has, all the things that He is, and all the things that He's done. And you don't worry about anything else. Why? Because only when you've received it can it flow out of you. No one pours out of an empty cup. Don't worry about how you are before other people, or what other people see, or what they may think, or how you are. Don't worry about any of that. Just receive something from God. Just receive something from God. If you can do that, then everything else will fall in line. Just receive something from God. And then you'll have something to overflow with. You know, a person who is constantly failing. Why? Because they're not receiving. The best solution to sin is the heart of God. It's not law, it's not browbeating, and God will never apply the law to a person. God will never browbeat them. It's not trying to enforce something with the strength of my personality. That's just flesh trying to conform another flesh. All you have now is flesh squared. No. A person who has weaknesses needs the love of God. A person who fails needs the love of God. A person who is insecure needs the love of God. They don't need any human production. Just draw near to the love of God. How do I draw near to the love of God? I draw near to His Word that tells me about His love. I draw near to those believers who have the character of God flowing in them. I didn't say I draw near to all believers, because some believers, quite frankly, are carnal. And they're not going to give me the love of God. They will not be patient with me and they will not be kind to me. And I don't draw near to that, although I love them, but I don't draw near to that. I receive nothing from them. I go to the portion of the body that has resurrection life. And I draw from them. Pastor Stevens once said, not everyone whose positional body is experiential body. Only those through whom the life of God flows. Those are the ones we draw near. Now hopefully the rest will grow into that. But in the meantime, those are the ones we draw near. Draw near to the love of God. And the love of God draws near to you. Draw near to the kindness of God. And the kindness of God draws near to you. Draw near to God's forgiveness. And the forgiveness of God draws near to you. God's not going to let your hand go just because you have failed. No, God will hold on all the more. God doesn't forsake the one sheep that strays. He leaves the 99 behind to look for the one. Folks, get to know a God who is kind. It's not in human goodness. Human goodness will not sustain. But it's the goodness of God that transforms the heart and produces the life of God in us. Amen.